We are Vintage City Church based out of Fort Collins, Colorado. Welcome to our podcast. If you'd like to watch the live video of this teaching, head over to vintagecitychurch.com. We are so glad you are here. Let's get started with today's teaching.
Then again, Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord handed them over to the Philistines, who oppressed them for 40 years. How many hope you learn a lesson before it's 40 years? But 40 is also a period of testing. Judges 13, and then God says that there was a man named Manoah from the tribe of Dan who lived in the town of Zorah, and his wife was unable to become pregnant. Two things you constantly see in Scripture that God uses: famine and barrenness. See, what we're going to look at in Revelation 2 is Smyrna, which means myrrh, which means suffering. Isn't that encouraging? Church, I have such a sense in my heart that we don't know what's ahead for us. We think because we're the United States of America, we're going to avoid anything else that the rest of the world faces. Who says? And the thing that's amazing is, as Samson's mama, because this is Samson's parents, as Samson's mama is doing her daily activity, an angel of the Lord comes to her and says, "I've heard your cry, you're going to have a child." I'm standing back there and I just feel like the Lord downloaded this, because we're singing "He's Beautiful." And she runs to her husband and says, "We're going to have a baby. I saw an angel of the Lord." And he goes, "Yeah, I have a lot of faith for that." And he goes and prays and says, "God, if that's true, show me the one that came to my wife." And I believe it's an appearance of Jesus himself in the Old Testament. It's an epiphany. And as he's praying, this angel appears. And he says to the angel, "Tell me your name so I can prepare an offering worthy of you." And the angel says something so profound, because we were singing it this morning. And whenever we come into the presence of God, we've got to see this time and time and time again. Because we live in a country, we live in a nation, we live in a time where we do not understand the season, nor do we know what to do. And the angel says something incredible. That's why I know it's the Lord. He says, "Why do you ask my name?" "Because it is too wonderful. It's too beautiful. It's too beyond comprehension." See, church, we can't comprehend who Jesus is with this. We've got to comprehend who he is in this. That's why worship is so important. That's why we linger in the presence of God. That's why we shouldn't get bored in these seasons. Like, when is this going to get over? It will never get over, because we need to see him over and over and over and over and over again. That he is too wonderful, too wonderful, too glorious. And then Manoah quickly runs and prepares a goat and prepares a sacrifice. And then something happens. The fire of God falls, which is the judgment, but also in this case, the approval of God. When the tongues of fire came, God approved them. And the approval of God came. And Manoah understood his own wickedness. And he said, "I'm going to die now." And the beautiful thing about Jesus, I'm standing back there, I go, "God, you are so beautiful. You're so incredible. There's none like you. I want the world to know my Savior. I want the world to know who I know. He is so incredible. God, you're so awesome. I say it all the time, there's none like you. But when do I truly see him? In times of famine, in times of wickedness, in times of barrenness. Because my tendency, maybe not yours, but my tendency is when I don't have times of barrenness and famine, I rely upon my own strength. So God brings waves in my life of reminders of who he is and what he wants to do. There was a young man, probably in his 20s, who was a disciple of John, the writer of Revelation. His name was Polycarp. He became the bishop of Smyrna. When he died in around 155 AD, his tomb is still in Smyrna, and it says he served God faithfully for 86 years. But if the word of Smyrna came to him in his 20s, that means for 60 years he lived under some type of persecution. And yet he remained faithful. God, give us hearts like Polycarp. Let it be said of you and I, everyone in this room, that when we die, it can be put on our tombstone. Gary Peters served God faithfully for decades. Let it be said that I serve God, not because of me, but because of he is wonderful. Do we understand? That's why the angels, I don't believe eternity is going to get boring. I don't believe they just cry, holy, 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 this is cool. Holy, holy, holy. The reason they cry holy is because when they stand before him or fall before him, it's because he shows them another glimpse of who he is. He's a created being, not a created being. He's the one that created everything. And when we see another glimpse of him, in our quiet time, in our time. See, the reason I can stand back there, the reason I can stand back there and God drop something on my heart is because I've studied this book for decades. I know what this book says. I know who he is. I know who wrote it. He is wonderful. He is wonderful. He is wonderful. And I'll never totally comprehend him, but I want to pursue him with all my heart because there's none like him. There's none like him. There's only one, the unique, begotten, only Son of God who's took my place, who stepped into the portals of earth and says, I'll take Gary Peters' place. I'll stand in his stead. I'll take the stripes. I'll be nailed to a cross. I'll give up my spirit on that day and say, Father, forgive them. That's who I serve. And it's not drudgery. It's not I have to. It's I want to. I don't want people to go to hell. I don't want people to be without him because he's so wonderful. He's truly beautiful. That was a spontaneous song, right? I like that. See what happens when you're in the presence of God? How many can say, God, I want to see you? You know what that's going to mean? Really, what I believe, it's a life message. Pastor Dustin looked at my notes and said, Gary, you have the spirit of Polycarp. My life message is endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's been a message of mine. You know what's going to take to see him? Having times of barrenness where there is no other answer. There is no other solution. And you're going about your daily activities and God appears and shows you something new of who he is. You say, who are you? Who are you? See, he's called in Isaiah. The prophesied name is Wonderful Counselor. And when you've truly had him counsel you, it is wonderful because it's the answer. It's who he is. It's his very nature. The 4 and 20 fall down, the angels throughout all eternity, not just in the book of Revelation. We see it in the Old and New Testament because we see another glimpse of him. What glimpse of him do you need to say today? Who do you need him to be for you? Tell him, God, I need you to be my healer. I need you to be my provider. I need you to be my peace. I need you to be my comfort. I need you to be my security. I need you to be my future. I need you to be one who redeemed my past. I need you to be all those things that I need today. And when he comes, you are wonderful. You're beyond finding out. But I had a Kleenex in my pocket. Please. Not I'm going to use my sleeve, and that's not cool. The thing that's gripped my heart is after that experience, Manoah still got his son a prostitute. Debbie Downer. Sorry. That's why we need this encounter every day. Not once. Not seeing him once. So he's troubled me about his parents. Samson sees a prostitute, says, I wonder, why didn't his parents say, what the heck are you doing? And slap him upside the head. How many need him today? Yeah. Let's have bread and cup this morning. Go back and read Judges 13. See, the nation of Israel got leadership they deserve. That never happens to the United States. And don't be shocked if we get additional leadership we deserve. Because the answer is not a political figure. The answer is in the one who is wonderful. Who is wonderful. Counselor. Almighty God. Let's pray. God, give us fresh revelation. If you're in a season right now of barrenness or famine, maybe you're the only believer in your family, the only one that sees and serves God in your place of employment. If that's you, just raise your hand. God, come. He understands the loneliness, the brokenness. See, instead of looking at why, thank God that he's placed you in that situation to be salt and light in the midst of the darkness. God, come, bring comfort. Bring peace. Bring a holy fear of who you are. God, I thank you that you desire us to see you every day, and you're not going to kill us. You long to have fellowship with us. I say it all the time, church. He's God all by himself. There's no one like him. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after supper, he took the cup and he held it up and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Let's have bread and cup together. Let your chair become your altar.
Would you stand with me, please? There's just such a brooding, like a hanging of the presence of the Lord. I'm never really a fan of trying to add on. But as I stood here, I felt like the Lord just said, I'm preparing a people to walk in the miraculous. That sounds like such a cool church phrase. But what it takes to walk in the miraculous is to have an encounter with the miraculous one. A systematic, regular, daily encounter. Not a Sunday encounter. Not a Wednesday encounter. Just being a people found in his presence. Being a people altered by his presence. As Pastor Gary was sharing about Manoah and the tragedy of Samson coming and saying later in life, hey, Dad, get me a prostitute. It's that one-time encounter didn't become a regular encounter. And because it didn't become a regular encounter, there was no transformation. Some of you, probably like me, have been in church your whole life. At 51, I would say there's a season upon us that's different. You can feel it. There's an intentionality of the Lord in this season that's unique. There's a lot of us that have been feeling like the Lord has kind of put a line in the sand and almost said, I need you to come further. I need you to step into more. I need your discipline to increase. I need your commitments to increase. I need your intentionality before me to increase. It is because he's preparing something for the church to rise up and be the church in a day. And to the word Gary said, it means we will face things we don't want to face, but he's going to be something we've never seen in the midst of that. Three years ago, what the church walked through was the question of, where's your allegiance? And I watched the church at large lean into politics and start aligning with political systems. And it was a judgment on the church. It was a testing. It was a way for him to purify the house, not just this house, every house. Because what he was after was an understanding. You will never be allowed by me to trust in chariots or horses. You will only be allowed to align under my name. You don't get to have an allegiance other than me. Now, we're not out of it yet. We're still wrestling with it as a people. I can give you the right answer for you. Make him your dwelling place. Make him your dwelling place. Some of you need to repent for gross individualism before the Lord. You need to come back to a place where you say, Lord, I belong to you and you alone. I gave my life to you. That was the deal. You need to kiss the American dream goodbye and say, Lord, I want your dream. It's not that he doesn't have good, pleasing, and perfect in store for his people. He does. Somehow, some way through the history of Scripture, his people are always phenomenally blessed in the darkest seasons because that's who he is. But that blessing always comes on the other side of surrender. The blessing is never given so we surrender. It's always the reward of surrender. I'm supposed to close the gathering and I don't know if I can. There are some of you here that have to hear this. The Lord's put a line in the sand. He's calling for all. You've given him some. Please stop that. Please give him all. Partial surrender is not surrender. Neutrality is an illusion. We're either in or we're out. this is like standing in a vortex of the prophetic. There's a few of you that can hear the Lord whispering about finance. It's not to give, that's not what I'm talking about. It's that the Lord's asking you, what's gonna be your God? Do you trust me over finance? Will you follow me over finance? We live in the United States of America. There's no single thing more important to us than money. It is a national issue. We trade time for it. We commodify everything. But we have a king who's calling for absolute total surrender. This is not a ploy for give. This is nothing to do with that conversation. This has everything to do with smashing idolatry in the people of God. Saying, I will not have an idol today before you. It dies today, Lord. Just you. Pastor Dustin, what a gift. We're having a conversation the other day and he's like, hey, do you know how old the rich young ruler was? I'm like, 30? That's what I thought. I had never asked that question, never been asked that question. He's like, no, dude, he was 16. Majority of scholars believe the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said, I've done everything, I tithe, I've done it right. What do I have to do to be fully, completely right before you? Was 16 years of age and had inherited a fortune. And Jesus has the courage to say to him, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. Why did Jesus do that? Because he was never after the money, he was after the heart. And whatever we allow to stand in the way of him is the thing he's gonna ask for. So my answer is don't let anything stand in the way. Then you get everything. Please hear this. I know this is an odd morning. It feels like the Lord stepped in to do something and I'm still trying to figure out how to put a bow on it and I don't know if I can. But there's just such a sense of it is time to settle our hearts before him and be the people he's called us to be. No more screwing around. No more partial believing. No more thin Christianity. Just full on Jesus, you got it all.
Thank you for your time with us. If you enjoyed this teaching, we would love to invite you to join us at a live gathering. We are located at 1501 Academy Court in Fort Collins, Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about Vintage City Church, including our gathering times, previous teachings, and how to become a part of our family, visit us today at vintagecitychurch.com and be sure to connect with us on social media.